Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Samech Hey, and we are in the middle of the Yomid on daf Samech Dalet Amid Bey. So yesterday, we learned a festa daf. We touched on some really well-known Gemaras. The Gemara that says that the Yidden would have really never steeped so low and been Oved Avodah Zarah. The reason they worshipped Avodah Zarah was as a decoy. They felt that if they would worship Avodah Zarah, every time a mashkiach would get up and give a shmuz, every time the Rav would get behind the pulpit and he would speak to his congregation, he would talk about Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, and he would let them do the things they really wanted to do, such as Gilui Arayos and other Averis. But really, the Yidden were never initially buying in to what the pagans bought in. Now, one thing led to another, as the Gemara said, and the Gemara proved from many places that Basa the Aviku Shani, that once they worshipped Avodah Zarah, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. We learned a little bit about when the Chachonim were Mevatel the Yetzahara, the Avodah Zarah, and it was done by the Anshei Knesset Sagdoila circa Tchilas Bayesheni, and the Gemara says that what led to it was the Yidden got a second chance, and they're allowed to now return to Eretz Yisrael and once again have a Beis HaMikdash. But they realize that if we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and have a Beis HaMikdash again, and we're going to repeat the mistakes we made in the past, then it really doesn't make sense. We're going to lose the Beis HaMikdash all over again. So they said that we have to change something. We have to do something a little bit differently. They felt that the real primary reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because of Avodah Zarah. They davened that Hashem take away the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells the story of exactly how it happened. There was no Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah in Bayis Sheni, and it was for that reason that the Yidden were able to continue and thrive for a good part of Bayis Sheni. It's because they did not have that stumbling block, that michshol that had caused the first Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. I'll just tell you one other interesting thing, and I think there's a very important lesson here, and that is the Vilna Gaon wrote a famous pirish on two Mamori Agada in Shas. So one we learned together, and that is the Agada to Gemara in the beginning of Perek Amoichas HaSfino. The other one is Divrei Agada in Mesechtes Pcheres Tavches, where the Gemara discusses a debate between the great Tana Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachmei Atuna, the wise men of Athens, as in Athens, Greece. And in some of the Vilna Gaon's commentary on those Divrei Agada, the Gaon says something very interesting from a historical perspective. Hashtag rest of the story. And that is when the Yidden went back to Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, it was precisely at that time that the Chachamim got together and they instituted all the Dinei Derabbanan that we have today. So we know that so much of what we have to do and so much of what we're not allowed to do are Midrabbanan. It's not Midei Raisa. For example, Midei Raisa, you're only not allowed to eat meat and milk. What about chicken and milk? It's okay. The Rabbanon said you can't eat chicken and milk either. That's just one of many, many, many examples. So when did Basar, Oif, and Cholov become Asar? So the Vilna Gaon said it happened in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. And the reason the Chachamim made it us is for the same reason they were Vatal the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. They realized they were giving a second chance. And for them to have not changed something, not to have done something a little bit different, to give them a better chance of not making the same mistake they had previously made, they had to make changes. They were mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. That's this Gemara right here. And additionally, they made certain siyogim, certain harchakis on the Dina de Raisa, so that they shouldn't come back to do these averis again, such as Yisurei Derabbanan. So you're right. During Bayis Rishon, they felt, why does Basar Oif have to be Asar? Whatever's Asar Midei Raisa is Asar. Whatever's not Asar Midei Raisa is not going to be Asar. But they realized times had changed, and they realized that they couldn't survive without harchakis and fences around their Dinei Deraisa. So it was precisely in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, he says the Vilna Gaon, from a historical perspective, that the Chachamim instituted all these Dinei Derabbanan. But I guess the point is, the punchline is, that sometimes a person's given another chance, but if he goes about it the same way, expecting different results, that's the definition of insanity. You have to make changes and do things differently, because otherwise you're going to get the same results. Either way, so we went from talking more high level about Avodah Zarah to a more specific type of Avodah Zarah, and that's Moilach. And Moilach's mentioned in the Torah in three places. It's mentioned in Parshas Achrimos. The Pasuk says, "Umizaracha lo yisitein lahaver la-moilach." It's mentioned in Parshas Kedoshim. "Vani etin espone be'ishahu ve'hichrati oisoi mikerev amoi ki mizarei nosa la-moilach." So there the Torah talks about Moilach, and the Torah says that if somebody violates, if somebody worships Moilach, he's going to be chayv kares. And then it's mentioned a third time in Parashat Shoftim, lo yimotze b'chol maver b'noyu b'itoy ba'esh, koisim k'somim mo'inu manachash v'machashev, but maver b'noyu b'itoy ba'esh, Chazal said is referring to Moilach. So the halacha, idea of Moilach, is mentioned in three different places. We started seeing what Moilach is. Moilech was an Avodah Zarah, or maybe it wasn't an Avodah Zarah. They were Mesharsim. There were these ministers, these Galochim, priests that worked, that serviced Moilech. A father would come, he would take his child, he would give the child over to this Gabbai. The Gabbai would walk the child through fire. Did the child get burnt? Did he die? Is that what happened? It's not clear. So we'll see more about that right now. Some of the details, the laws regarding Moilech. You're not chayiv for Moilech unless the Mishores, this Gabbai, actually walks the child through the fire. It's Derech Havara. Hechidami. How did it play out? Amar Abaya. Abaya said, Shraga de Livni b'mitzi. There were bricks in middle. Nura mehai gisa. There was a fire on one side of these bricks. Venura mehai gisa. And there was a fire on the other side. And this child would walk through it. We'll see more specifically how this happened in a moment. Rav Amar Rava said, "Kemashvarta de Purya." This was like the fire pit that was prevalent on Purim. So Rashi says, "What was this fire pit on Purim?" So let's see Rashi inside. "Ene mavire beraglof." The child wouldn't walk on his feet. "Ela koifetz beraglof." He would jump. "Kederach shatinoika is koifzen bimei Purim." The way the children used to jump on Purim. "Shoisa chafir baaretz." There was a pit in the ground, and there was fire inside the pit, and the child would jump from one side to the other side, hoping that he doesn't land in the pit. That was the idea. That was this little trick, this little spiel that the child was doing, and that's what Moilech was. So Moilech was not walking, but rather it was jumping. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi de Rava, Raya to Rava, that it wasn't walking, but rather jumping, because the Malach is, Enei Chayiv Achi Avrenu Derech Havar. What does Derech Havar mean? It means that Hevira Beregel Potter, that if the child walks, he's going to be Potter. So you say, Meris, you can't walk. What do you do if you're not walking, you're jumping? That's what Rava said. Rava said it was Kemashvar to the Purya, not what Abaya said. The Brisa continues and says, the only time you chayiv for Moilech is if you're Moilech, one of your children. Your son or your daughter, that's Yoytze Yerechoy. We saw on the top of the Yom, the Gemara brought a Brisa, even for your Einoklach, you're going to be chayiv. Nebonim Kemonim when it comes to Moilech. But other the Imoy, Achiv Achoysei Potter, Hever Atzmai. What if you walked yourself through Moilech? Potter. Rabbi Shimon says, you're going to be chayev. Now, Potter chayev, I thought you died, right? I mean, if you walked through Moilech, didn't you burn to death? It's Rashi's kasha. We'll see that in a minute. Echol the Moilech, you're chayev from Moilech. Whether you do this to Moilech, the Echol the Shara Vedazar, or even if you do it to another Vedazar. Rabbi Shimon, what's Pshan of Rabbi Shimon? Again, this is from yesterday's daf. This is part two of Moilech, right? So what do we see in part one? A machloik is whether Moilech was an Avodah Zarah. What's the nafkamina if Moilech was Avodah Zarah? The nafkamina is if you do this Avodah to another type of Avodah Zarah. If Moilech is just another type of Avodah Zarah, so doing Moilech to Markulis, let's say, would be like being Poyer than Markulis, which it could sometimes you could be Chayah. But if Moilech is not an Avodah Zarah, Moilech is something else, it's a Kishuf, or it's some other sorts, then it doesn't fall under the halachas of Avodah Zarah, Shlok Yedarka. What's that?
You're doing Avodah Zarah to another Avodah Zarah regardless.
Right, but it's the question, is that a form of Avodah Zarah? It has to be established first as a form of Avodah Zarah in order to be chayev. So if Melech is an Avodah Zarah, so we know that being Mavru B'nai Yubitai is a form of worshipping Avodah Zarah. If it's a form of worshipping Avodah Zarah, then it could be, it would apply to other forms of Avodah Zarah as well. Amar Ula Ula said, my time at the Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon, so there were two machloikis in between Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon and the Chachamim in this Braisa. The second one, that's the one we just mentioned, whether Melech is Avodah Zarah or not, that's the one we spoke about yesterday. The first one was, if somebody is Mavru Atzmai, so he's not Mavru B'nai Yubitai, but he's Mavru Atzmai, you're going to be chayev or Potter. So the Chachamim said you're going to be Potter. But Rabbi Shimon said you're going to be Chayev. How does he know that? Amakro, because the Pasuk says, one of the three Pesukim that talk about Moilech says, Lo Yimotze Becha Mavru B'nai Yubita. Now, Pasha, what does it mean, Lo Yimotze Becha? Doesn't mean you. Right. I'm not talking to you. Becha, Tzvishin Inz. Amongst Klai Yisrael, there shouldn't be a Mavru B'nai. But the Gemara Darshan's the word Becha, Be'atzmecha. That's what Rabbi Shimon Darshan. And therefore, if somebody is Mavru himself, he's going to be Chayev. Rabbanon, Lo Yidarshi Becha. So at first glance, the Rabbanon argue, because they're not Darshaning the word Becha. It's just a figure of speech, but it doesn't mean literally you. But how could you say that we're going to the Mishnah? If somebody has an opportunity to return his own aveda to himself, or to return his father's aveda to his father, so shaloi kaidemes. Varina, my time of Amr Abiyudah Makro, the pasuk says efes kilo yeh b'cha evyoid. So at first glance, this pasuk is a haftacha. Hashem promises efes. You should know kilo yeh b'cha evyoid. There'll never be poor people amongst Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara darshins a halacha from here. Efes kilo yeh b'cha evyoid. What's the halacha? That you are obligated to do something to make sure that you don't become an evyoid. Such as, if you have an opportunity to save yourself a few dollars, or save somebody else, even after somebody else is your father, shaloi kedemes v'shel kaloda. But what's the point? We're darshaning the word becha as meaning you. Because if becha over here didn't mean you, then it's not talking necessarily to the individual person who found the Aveda, where he has a halacha of efes kilo yir becha evyoy. It's more of a general statement talking to all of Klal Yisrael, and the word becha is a figure of speech. But if the Chachamim learned shaloi kedemes v'shel kaloda, what does that mean? It means they do darshan the word b'cha. So if they darshan the word b'cha over there, why don't they darshan la'yimatzei b'cha mavru b'nai yubita b'esh? So the Gemara says, hasamei efes. Now the point over there is, because being that the Torah said efes, efes is a giloy that we're supposed to darshan this pasuk. That's what the word efes means, just grammatically speaking. That's our way of knowing that this isn't just a promise. This is a drasha. So what's the drasha? There won't be poor people. Now, you can't control whether other people will be poor or not. You can control if you yourself will be poor. And that's how the Chachamim knew that the word becha must be talking to you specifically, where you have control of this halacha of efes kila yeh becha evyoin. But without the word efes, we would assume that becha is a figure of speech. By lo yimatze becha mavru b'nayu bitay, it's for that reason we assume that it's merely a figure of speech. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Chanina, shalosh krisis b'avodah zarah. Why does it say karis three times by avodah zarah? Now, where are the three times that it says karis by avodah zarah? So the pasuk says kidvar Hashem baza. That pasuk is talking about a good old-fashioned Oved Avodah Zarah. So the classic Oved Avodah Zarah, the Torah says it's Chayiv Kares, it says it twice. He Kares, Ti Kares, HaNefesh Ahi Avoyin Abba. The third place it says Kares is by Moilech. Rati Oisoi Mikerev Amoy, referring to the person that was Nasa Mizari L'Moilech. Essentially, the question is that you have the two by Avodah Zarah, the third by Moilech. Why three? Zok to Gemara, Echas L'Kedarka, V'Achas L'Kedarka. You need the Torah to tell me that this car is for someone's Oved Avodah Zarah Kedarka. You need the Torah to tell me that this car is for someone that's Oved Avodah Zarah Shaloi Kedarka, V'Achas L'Moilech. And the third one is for Moilech. Says the Gemara, L'Man Dama Moilech Avodah Zarah, but according to Man Dama that says that Moilech is Avodah Zarah, car is for Moilech, Lomali. Why does it have to say Karas by Moilech? Meaning we just saw that there's a machlekes tanoim whether Moilech was Avodah Zarah. So Bishleim, according to the Man Lama that says that Moilech wasn't Avodah Zarah, if it's not Avodah Zarah, how would I know it's Karas? It says he Karas by Avodah Zarah, but Moilech is not Avodah Zarah. What does one have to do with the other? But according to the Man Lama that says that Moilech is Avodah Zarah, so once it says that for Avodah Zarah, we covered Kedarka and Shalai Kedarka, there's going to be Karis. So Karis ben Moilech Lamali, says the Gemara, Lamavir Benoi Shalai Kedarka. There's still a Chiddish. I would have thought that if someone's Mavir Benoi to another Avodah Zarah, maybe you shouldn't be Chayef. Kamash Malan, that you're Chayef. So that's a special Chiddish already, and the Torah had to say that there's going to be Karis. By the way, when is there Karis if someone's Oved Avodah Zarah? I thought when someone's Oved Avodah Zarah, you get Skila, right? We've been learning the Sugyas of Deniskalin. And Avodah Zarah is one of the people that are chayiv skila. So when do you get karis? The answer is if there was no Eidim Vasra. If there's Eidim Vasra, that's when you get skila. But if there's no Eidim Vasra, this person can't be prosecuted in. So if someone's Oved Avodah Zarah b'mezid, but Bezin doesn't have the ability to prosecute him, Hashem prosecutes him, lo yoleinu, and that's where it's negay the chi of karis. Says the Gemara, l'man, I'm a megadif avodah zarah, karis be megadif lomali. In the parasha megadif, the Torah also says karis. V'nichrasu ha-nefesh ahi mikerev av. That's someone that's megadif. Now what's a megadif? So you're going to tell me mevarches Hashem. We just learned the whole sugi about megadif. Mevarches Hashem. But the truth is, it's a machloikis. One mandomer says Megadif is Mavarchas Hashem. There's another mandomer that says it's an Oved Avodah Zarah. Rashi gives an example of it. Kigoyin Meshoyrer L'Avodah Zarah. If somebody sings or plays an instrument for Avodah Zarah, that's Megadif. Machloik is in the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Machloik is what exactly Megadif is. So the Gemara's kasha is similar to the kasha that it just asked about Moilech. Bishloim, if Megadif is not Avodah Zarah, I understand why the Torah had to specifically say that this Karev karis by Megadah. But according to Manavan, that says the Megadah is just another form of Avodah Zarah. So why did the Torah have to say that this karis for Megadah? If Megadah is Avodah Zarah, then I know myself that there's going to be karis. The Gemara, look at the Tanya. The answer is in the following price. He karis, ti karis. He karis, ba'ilu mazeh. Tikores, loyel ma'ba divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva darshan. You know why it said he kores tikores? Not like the Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina said achas l'kedarka va'achas l'shaloi kedarka. Rabbi Akiva says no, kedarka shaloi kedarka don't need separate psukim. What then is he kores tikores? He kores loyel mazeh. Tikores loyel ma'ba. The Ramban in his Pirush al Torah in Kamekoymoi. But the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah, if you want to look it up, it's in the Parsha Shlach. He talks about different types of kores. This kores loyel mazeh. This chorus where the person gets cut off even with Lo'ilam Abba, then this chorus Le'elena where it can affect the family, Ariri, but he chorus the chorus, based on this drasha right here, Rabbi Akiva said, the double lotion is that not only chorus Ba'ilam Azeh, but also chorus Le'elam Abba, Amalei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said, I'll ask you a kasha, V'aloi kvar nemar v'nichrasa. It says v'nichrasa. Where does it say v'nichrasa? In the parasha Megadif. And Rabbi Shmuel holds Megadif as an Oved Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Shmuel is asking Rabbi Akiva, it says, he kares, the kares, and you're darshaning the two worlds. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. The problem is it says, he kares a third time. It says the word v'nichrasa. V'chishloisha olamim yesh. Is there a third world? Is that what the third v'nichrasa is coming to teach me? Elas Rabbi Shmuel said, v'nichrasa olam Hazeh, he kares lo olam Haba. Tikares, you can't darshan. Sometimes the Torah will use poetic license, and say tikares, tikares. So again, what was the kasha? The kasha was, according to Mandama, that it says Megadif is an Oved Avodah Zarah. So why does it have to say v'nichrasa? Who's the Mandama that holds Megadif is an Oved Avodah Zarah? It's this Rabbi Shmuel right here. He's the one that said it says v'nichrasa a third time in Avodah Zarah. What's the third time v'nichrasa? Where does it say v'nichrasa by Megadif? So you say Meris Megadif is an Oved Avodah Zarah. And Rabbi Shmuel himself answered the question. He said, you know why it says it three times? Oilam Azeh and Oilam Abba. And he kores tikores. That's not really a third time. Because Dibra Torah, Kalashim and Yadam. So the teretz is that it's really not a kasha. Because he kores tikores is not two. It's not two Lidrasha. It's really one. Because there is an idea of Dibra Torah, Kalashim and Yadam. Either way, this concludes the sugya regarding Moilach. So what exactly is Moilach? We just learned the Gemara with about 10 drushes. So we have a little bit of an idea of what's going on. But I think still, the basic picture of exactly what happened when someone was Magrib B'noyu, beat the Moilach, is a little bit confusing. And the truth is, it's a very big Machlekes Rishonim, exactly how it played itself out. Rashi, in his Pirush al Torah, in Parshas Achrimos, and it's the same exact Rashi right here in his Pirush on Shas, Sanhedrin Samech Dalet Amid Beis, and the Ramban al Torah in Parshas Achrimos. Rashi says that even though the Torah seems to be saying that the way Moilach worked was Umizaracho lo yisitein lahavir la Moilach lo yimotze b'cha mavir b'noyu b'itoy ba'esh, but the child did not literally go into the fire. The child either walked through the fire, or like Rava said, b'mashvayr to the Purya, the child jumped over the fire, but it was nothing. It was some ritualistic event that took place, but the child was nichnas b'shalom, v'yotze b'shalom, everything was fine. Nothing actually happened to the child. And even though maybe when you learned in yeshiva, you thought the child was burnt, but Rashi says he made a mistake. That wasn't really what your Rebbe was supposed to teach you. It's not what happened. The child walked out alive. He was unscathed, as long as he jumped over the pit. But he made it out unscathed. There was nothing that was supposed to happen. It was just some ritual. It was a way of servicing Melech, but you weren't actually giving up your child. Zok Rashi, how do I know that? I know that from the Gemara. Because the Gemara had a machlekes tanoim. What would be if somebody's maver atzmei lemelech? Chayev pot. What does it mean, chayiv pot? You chayiv skila, you're not chayiv skila. Maybe if you did a b'shogig, you chayiv chatas, you're not chayiv chatas. If the guy died, then he's not bringing a chatas. Chatas shemesu baleh, by the way. See, you're not bringing a chatas if you want to really get kachendik. And you can't give him skila. You can't give a dead man skila. So the question is, then what's this machlekes tanoim over here? Is that a hashtag? So what's the machlekes tanoim over here? Whether dead man stoning. So what's the machlekes tanoim over here? Whether if someone's maver atzmei l'moilech, whether he's going to be Chayver is going to be Potter. There can't be such a Shiloh. Zok Rashi, checkmate. I'll read it to you inside. Midik Tony Lekamon Amaver Atzmai Potter. Alma La'achar Havara Huchai. Must be he's going to lie. Now tell us, Rashi, you can ask me a kasha. That didn't we learn a Gemara on Daf Samech Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that there was an Avodah Zarah. It was called Svarven. And people used to take their children, offer it up to Svarvim, and the children would burn. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that Achaz, who was Chizkiyo, Amalek's father, wanted to do it to Chizkiyo, and his mother was able to save his life with the salamandra. But you see, there was such an idea. Zot Rashi and Achinami. But Svarvim Luchud and Meilech Luchud. There's two dinim. It's not the same thing. Svarvim, yeah, that's what they did. That's a pasuk in the Torah. That's a Gemara. I'm not arguing with that Gemara, says Rashi. But Meilech, as it relates to Meilech, which is mentioned three times in the Torah, and you have a whole Mishnah and a daf and daf yoimi dedicated to it. The sugyas of Meilech, that's not what happened. The Ramban argues. The Ramban is Pirush al Torah. He entertains Rashi. He acknowledges himself that he's not exactly sure of what Meilech was, exactly how it happened. But the primary pshat that the Ramban entertains is that that's not what happened. But rather what happened was, by Melech, a father would take his son, he would take his daughter, and he would actually serve it up to this Avodah Zarah. Maybe it wasn't Avodah Zarah, but he would serve it up to Melech, and the child would die. As a matter of fact, the Ramban says that he believes that the Svarvim was Melech. It was one and the same. Svarvim was Melech. What was the Svarvim called? If you remember, the pasuk that the Gemara quoted. Va'svarvim surfim es b'neim be'esh la'adar melech va'ana melech elehei svarvoyim. Adar melech, the Gemara said, is from the word adar and melech. Ana melech is from the word anam or ono and melech. It has the word melech in the Shirish. That's melech. Melech, it's the same thing. He thinks that's exactly what it was. And just like you find that's a pasuk in Malachim Beis where they're offering up their children to Svarvoyim, that's exactly what Melech was. The same exact Avodah Zarah that existed back in that day. The Ramban continues, and the Ramban says that the Nevi'e Habal of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel fame, the Nevi'e Habal used to also serve up their children to their Avodah Zarah called Baal. It's Psukim. Umolu es hamokim azeh dam nekiyim. Ubanu as bomois habal lisroif es b'neim ba'esh. He's a psukim enach. Lisroif es b'neim is nach 101. Lisroif es b'neim ba'esh. Zokter Ramban, I think Baal HaMoylech was also the same. Baal HaMoylech was also the same. What's the shirish of the word Moylech? It comes from the word Melech. What's Baal? Odoin. Loshen HaRamban. Vishneim loshen koroiv. Bimalchus v'adnus. It's one and the same thing. But the bottom line is, Ramban argues with Rashi, and the Ramban says that what happened with Melech was they actually used to burn their children. I heard recently somebody was speaking, he was talking about the Akedah, right? The Akedah is very much related to the Rosh Hashanah theme. That's the Shofar, it's the Ayil from Eloi Shel Yitzchak. And he said that Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu, and he gives him the Nesayin, the 10th Nesayin, and he tells him to take his son Yitzchak, and he was bringing out the Echos of the Nesayin. And he said that if you think about it, Avraham Avinu spent his life trying to eradicate the Avodah Zarah. He, as a young child, he already broke the tzlamim of his father. He took on Nimrod, who was the most powerful king of the world. Nimrod threw him into the Kibshon HaEshon or Kazdim. He comes out alive. Avraham Avinu's mantra is to destroy Avodah Zarah. And Hashem gives him a Nesayin. What's the Nesayin? To go and do with his son Yitzchak what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used, the ultimate sacrifice for Avodah Zarah. To be Mavir Bnoi. Now, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah did a Lemoylech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commenting and he's telling him to serve the Avodah Zarah. And I was thinking, I never heard that. It's fascinating. That you always think of the Akedah was like, it was a very specific, customized type of tzivah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram. He was saying, no, the truth is this was something that was prevalent back in the time. People used to do a Lemoylech. Which was not so posh. It's really machlek. According to Rashi, Lemoylech had nothing to do with that. Lemoylech was not an idea of actually giving up your son. Lemoylech, this was something completely different. Either way, that's the first story. We mentioned yesterday that in this sugya right here, you have one of the most famous marshals in Shas. So where do you have it? So the Gemara had said earlier in the Amid that if somebody is maver all his children lemoylech, Amar Rav Acha Brei de Rav, Hever Kol Zaroi, if somebody would be maver all his children lemoylech, Potter. Shenemar mi zaracho, v'loy kol zaracho. So it says, Umi zaracho leisitin lehaver lemoylech, mi means some, v'loy kol zaracho. So if somebody would offer all his sons lemoylech, he would be potter. Now at first glance, it doesn't make any sense. V'loy dovarhu, kal v'chaymer. Madoch, if somebody is maver some of his sons lemoylech, he's going to be chayev. So if somebody's maver all his sons lemoylech, he certainly should be chayev. The Rishonim asked the kasha. And the Pasha Teretz, what we spoke at yesterday, was that must have been the way that people used to worship Melech. Meaning people didn't give all their children to Melech. People only gave Mizaracha. So to the extent that you do more, you're a Moisef Gereya, from the Melech perspective, you're not doing what Melech is. Melech is Mizaracha. At the end of the day, if you do it the way they did it, you're going to be Chayiv. If you don't do it the way they did it, you're going to be Potter. But the Marsha, right here on this Gemara, brings another Pshat. He brings a Pshat from the Smag. And he said, the Smag said as follows. It's Poshet that if somebody would give all his children a Melech, what he's doing is more Chamor than someone who's only giving Mizaracha l'moylech. So why then is the halacha, if somebody gives all his children, he's going to be pater? He says, you know why? Because Misas Bezdin really served a double function. It was a punishment, but it was also a kapara. The idea was that somebody did an avera, now he's going to get Misas Bezdin, he's going to say vidui before he gets Misas Bezdin, and that's going to be his kapara. He is going to have his atonement by being killed by Bezdin. Says the Smag, someone that gives some of his children l'moylech, Mizaracha, his avera is not so chamor, he can get Mises Bezdin and get Kapara by getting Mises Bezdin. But somebody that gives all his children L'moylech, Hever Kol Zaharoi Potter. You know why? Not because his Aveira is less Chomer, it's more Chomer, but that's the whole point. It's so Chomer that Misa can't be Mechaper. And if it can't be Mechaper, why give him Misa? If the Misa can be Mechaper, you'll give him Misa. But if the Misa can't be Mechaper, then what's the point? So someone that gives Mizaracha, that Aveira is very Chomer. It's from the Neskalin. Torah calls it Toyev. It's one of the worst things you could do. But there's also Skila. And Skila could be Mechaper. Someone that's Maver Kol Zari L'moylech, his Aveira is so Chomer. It's so Chomer that Misa maybe won't be Mechaper. And it's for that reason Hever Kol Zari is going to be potter. So says the Smag, Avad in Kal V'Chomer, it would make perfect sense to say that Mizaracha Chayiv, Kol Zaracha, certainly. The problem is, the flaw in the Kal V'Chomer is that maybe being that Kol Zaracha is more Chomer, maybe the Oynish isn't enough. And if the Oynish isn't enough, there's no point in giving him the Oynish. Says the Marsha, Umizeh Nir, from this Smag, I had a nine file. It could be losses tam hodam rina bechol duchta. The ein oinchem and adin. You find throughout Chas ein oinchem and adin. Afog after kavuchemer mida he betayr mikomakod. Even though kavuchemer is a mida, it's one of the midas shatayr nedrashes behem. So why ein oinchem and adin mikomakod ein lodum kein leinyan oinish. You know why? The aim of zesha asa avera hachamura misu ein mischapish. In a mischaper, I'm sorry, what was that? But in a shamefurish bekalami meno, says the Marsha, could be this is the side, this is the schlissel, this is the side behind Ein Oinchem and Adin. What's a kalva chaymer? Ma, dochter dover akal, certainly dover achamur, says the Marsha, well, Oinchem doesn't work. Because you could always argue that the dover akal maybe begets such an Oinish, because the Oinish is a ample kapara for the Avera hakal. But maybe an Avera that's chamur needs, it necessitates a more chomer oynish. And if the oynish is supposed to be more chomer, and this person gets the oynish akal, he's not going to get kapara. And if he's not going to get kapara, why give him the oynish? Just like this ma said with regards to Mizarach Lesitl, Nahabal Amoylech. Either way, says the Marsha, I think that this is a teretz, this is the schlissel to how Ein Oinchem and Adin works. Now, if you ask the man on the street, how does Ein Oinchem and Adin work? So I remember from yeshiva, Ein Oinchem and Adin always meant, because maybe there's a pircha on the Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer is a pircha. Any sugi that deals with Kal V'Chomer is a shveris sugi. The sugi is in the beginning of Perek Isha Niknes. They're complicated sugis, because you have to make sure that you worked out the Kal V'Chomer, and that there's no kasha and pircha, right? There's a famous Reb Chaim, where the Gemara said that one of the Tanam, or one of the Amiram said that he's such a bucky, but kol chedrei Torah, he could darshan a Kal V'Chomer. The Chanan brings it in Kovit Shurim. So he said he heard from his Rebbe Reb Chaim, you don't have to be a bucky to darshan Kal V'Chomer. You have to be a Lamdin, you have to be a Baal Svara, you have to be an Iker Horeb, not a Sinai, right? To say a Pilpul, maybe for that you have to have Bekiyas, but to say a Kal V'Chomer, what you need is a Gemara. You can sit and say a Kal V'Chomer. Why do you have to be a Bucky to say a Kal V'Chomer? Reb Chaim said it's not true. Because when a person is done a Kal V'Chomer, he has to make sure there's no Pircha on the Kal V'Chomer. So you need a Bekiyas to know Kol HaTorah Kula, to make sure there's no Pircha on the Kal V'Chomer. So the way I was always taught was Ein Oinchem and Adin, because maybe there's a Pircha that you're missing. So to darshan Aloch in the Torah, there is Nidreshes, B'yud Gimel Midos. But when it comes to an Oinish, hitting a yid, punishing somebody, there we're concerned that maybe there's a pircha that we're overlooking. We're oversensitive, we're being overly paranoid, that maybe there's some sort of pircha, and for that reason, we don't punish. There's a Rashi in Masechta Sanhedrin, we'll see it in a week or so, that says maybe a different shot. But the bottom line is, here we have a Marsha. Marsha says, no, it's not so much that we don't think we got the Kal V'Chomer right. We got the Kal V'Chomer right. The problem is, it's so right, and it's so true that this is more chomer than that, that maybe it needs an oynish that's more chomer, and it's for that reason, we don't give an oynish at all. What would be an afkamina? So I'll tell you a nice marmokin. There's a Hagah from the Marzach, Tzvir Shchayas and Masech Tis Nedar, Nedarim Daf Dalet, where he says it could be to be a nafgemina. Are you unshem and adin when it comes to a mamatzino, a mahatzad, tzadashava? What would you say over there? According to the Marsha, you can't be unshem and adin by kal v'chomer because maybe the chomer needs an einish that's more chomer. So that's only true if one is more chomer than the other. But when you have a mamatzino, when you have a tzad hashava, the two are equal. If they're equal, so there's no svara to think that maybe you need an einish that's more chomer. If there's no svara to think you need an einish that's more chomer, so maybe you'd be unshem and adin. But according to the other svara, that maybe it's because there's a pircha. Fakeret, the Gemara says when it comes to a tzad hashava, even a pircha koldu is enough to not get a tzad hashava. So then there should be no difference between a kal v'chomer and a mamatzino. Another nafkamina perhaps would be, what about by mamon? Oinshin mamon min adin? Or ein oinshin mamon min adin? So where is that? Bavakama daf beis. Taisus right at the beginning of Perek Arbavis. So Bavakama, that just don't do it with my son, Achavis. Bavakama, big monkey. Bavakama daf beis, where Taisus discusses whether oinshin mamon min adin or ein oinshin mamon min adin. But if you remember, we learned Bavakama, there's a lot of steers. There's two piske taisus in the first, it's not often you quote a piske taisus, but there's two piske taisus both in the first Perek. In Mesechta's Bava Kama, Perik Arba Ovis, one Piske Taisva seems to say, Einshem Amun Adin, the other Piske Taisva seems to say, Ein Einshem Amun Adin. Could be it has to do with this Marsha, but the bottom line is, Zok the Mishnah Vayter. So we turn our attention from Avodah Zarah to Moilech, and now we're going to talk about Oiv and Yedoini. So the truth is that over the next few days, going into Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be learning about different forms of Kishuv. We have time, maybe we'll illustrate some of it. No. But we're going to be learning about different forms of Kishuv. So it's a pasuk in the Torah, in Parsha Shoiftim. The pasuk says, Bo el ha'ores asher Hashem alekecha noisin lach. By the way, not all kishuv is awesome, so that's what I meant by that. Ki ato bo el ha'ores asher Hashem alekecha. If we could have a guest magician, whatever, I don't want to spoil it, but you'll see. Loisum ad lasos ki toyavis ha'goyim ahim. There's a lot of tshuvas, by the way. If somebody does magic with sleight of hand, is that, right, like at your local Sheva Brachas, so is that a problem? It's like, no. Loisum ad lasos ki toyavis ha'goyim ahim. The pasuk says, "Maver b'no yubitei ba'esh, koisim k'samim, ma'oinenu menachesh, u'mechashe v'chayver chaver v'shoyalei v'yodeini v'doyresh al ha'mesim." So, Torah gives a whole bunch of forms of kishuv that the Mitzrayim were steeped in, that the Kenanim were steeped in, and the Torah says, "You're coming to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm letting you know this is one of the themes of Sefer Dvarim." Hashem tells the Yidden, "I'm giving you the land. I'm taking them out of the land. The reason I'm replacing you or them with you is because they did certain averis, and make sure you don't do the same averis that they did." And one of those themes mentioned is different forms of kishuv, but specifically v'chaver chaver v'shoyel oiv v'yedoyni v'doyre shalom esim. Oiv and yedoyni, says the Gemara. What is oiv and what is yedoyni? It's a Mishnah. Bal oiv ze pitoim hamedaber mishechyoi. So this is somebody, a mechashef, a sorcerer, that had the ability to cause the spirit of a dead person to come up to this world. The Baal Oiv would have the spirit come and rest in his or her armpit, and the spirit would speak from Shechyoi, from the armpit. The Yedoyni, similar concept, Zeh Medaber Bepiv. This is somebody that would take a bone from a bird, or a chaya, Sheshmo Yodua, I'm reading from Rashi. So somebody that does either oiv or yudaini is chayiv skila vanishal behem. The person that goes to the baal oiv or the baal yudaini, that person, meaning asking him something, you know, should I get involved in this business venture? Can you call somebody up from the dead and let me know? Either way, the one that asks the shayla has an azara. The one that actually does it, the baal oiv and the baal yudaini, are going to be chayiv skila. Zok the Gemara. So the first part of the sugi is technical. The second part of this gets into some interesting agada. So we have a mission over here that describes oiv and yedoyni, that a baal oiv is chayiv skila and a baal yedoyni is chayiv skila. Mar's kasha is that there's a mishnah right in the beginning of Masechtas Krisis da Beis, and the mishnah over there mentions the 36 averis for which somebody could be chayiv karis, and it mentions oiv. but it doesn't mention Yedoyne. So fake the Gemara, how come the Mishnah discusses Skila mentions Oiv and Yedoyne, but the Mishnah that discusses Koris mentions Oiv and it doesn't mention Yedoyne? So the Gemara says it's Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said Hayu Lashneim Belav Echad Nemar. Rabbi Yochanan says the reason is because when the Torah mentioned Oiv and Yedoyne, the Torah put it together in one lav, and being that the Torah put it together in one lav, if somebody would be over Oiv and Yedoyne Behelam Echad, he would bring one chatas. So, being that he would bring one chatas in Mesechtes Krisos, which for practical purposes is dealing with the chatas, because Koris is not practical. That's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of. Where Chayvi Krisos is Negeya Os, is if somebody's over Chayvi Krisos, Peshoigig, he brings chatas. So, over there, where we're dealing with the chatas, we mention one. Why one? Because it's really one chatas for the two. Hoyul v'shneim b'lav echanemru. But as it relates to skila, it's really two independent lavin, because you get skila for oiv or you get skila for yadoni, and that's why they're mentioned independently. Rish Lakish says yadoni the feature in by maisa. You want to know why yadoni is not mentioned in the Mishnah Masechtas Krisos? Because there's a rule. The only time you bring a carbon chatas if you're oiv echayvi krisos, but you do it with a maisa. And yadoni didn't involve a maisa. What was yadoni? Again, I'll read Rashi. Chaya achas yesh shmo yodua. There was a chay, his name was yodua. Umachtas mimena etzem l'toich bish. You would take an etzem l'toich piv, you didn't do anything wrong yet, but the etzem edabim yelvay dek shofim. When the actual yudaini happens, it's the etzem that's talking, it's in your mouth, you're not doing a maisa, being that there's no physical act from your part, it's for that reason you're not going to get chata. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan, maishna ba'al oiv denokat. Koint Rabbi Yechanan, you had to pick either oiv or yudaini. So why'd we pick oiv? Mishon debasach pekra, because that's the one the Torah mentioned first. Reish lakish, my time aliyomak Rabbi Yechanan. So again, we have a machlokes Rabbi Yechanan, Reish lakish. Why in the Mishnah and Krisos it says only oiv? Really, oiv and yudaini are two different things. So if oiv and yudaini are two different things, so, and that's why in our Mishnah it's mentioned separate, there's the Baloiv and there's the Yadaini. How come in Koras it's where we're talking about the carbon chatas, do we only mention one? Rabbi Yechon said that mentioned one because Balav Echa Nemru, if you do both Behalam Echad, you're going to bring one chatas. So the Inyan chatas, it's really only one. That's why it's mentioned as one. Reish Lakish said that no, really you would mention both. You want to know why we mention one, because only one of them involves a Maisa. Oiv involves a Maisa. Yudaini doesn't involve a Maisa. So you don't bring a chatas when there's no Maisa. That's why we're not mentioning Yudaini. Says the Gemara, Reish Lakish by Tam Lovik Rabbi Yechon. Why Reish Lakish only Rabbi Yechon? Why didn't he say his pshat? Why didn't he say the reason Yudaini isn't mentioned because it's Lav Echa together with Oiv? I'm Rapopach. Because although it's true that the pasuk that describes the lav of Oiv Yedoyni puts them together, it says Oiv Yedoyni, which suggests that it's one, but the pasuk that says that there's a chi of skila for Oiv Yedoyni says Oiv Oyedoyni. The Oi is lechalek, so now they're really separate. If they're separate, if you do Oiv Yedoyni behelam echad, you're not going to bring one chatas, you're going to bring two chatas. Oh, you're going to bring two chatas. That's why that can't be the reason that it doesn't say Yedoyni. What then is the reason it doesn't say Yedoyni? Because Yedoyni, it doesn't involve a maisa. And you don't bring a chatas when there's no maisa. Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't it say Oiv Yedoyni by misa? Yeah, but chaluka lav shma chaluka. Chaluka de misa lo shma chaluka. In other words, there's a derivative machlokes here between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right, which you find very often in Shas. The machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish was, why doesn't it say Yedoyni in the Mishnah Krisos? Rabbi Yochanan said his reason. Reish Lakish said his reason. But as a derivative, when you drill a little bit deeper, what you see is that the underlying machlokes is whether if you have a lav in the Torah that is not chaluk when the lav is introduced, but it is chaluk b'misas. You have two lavin that are mentioned together, behelam echad, so to speak, in the Azara, but not in the Misa. Is that enough for it to say that it's Chaluk, that if you do both of them, Behelam Echad, you're going to bring two Chatois, or one? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Chaluk et Lav is Shema Chaluka, but Chaluk et Demisa is Loi Shema Chaluka. According to Reish Lakish, Chaluk et Demisa is Shema Chaluka. So that's why Reish Lakish didn't learn Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, my time, I'm like Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is saying a good reason. He says, Yudaini doesn't involve a Misa. So if it doesn't involve a Misa, that's why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah and Krisos. Amalach, Masis and the Krisos, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan didn't like that terrace because he held that the Mishnah and Krisos is going according to Rabbi Akiva. But Amalach, in a Misa, well, you don't have to do a Misa. Who's that Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Megadev. That Megadev has to bring a chatas. If someone's Megadev b'shoigig, he brings a chatas. Megadev doesn't involve a maisa. So you see from there that even without doing a maisa, and how do you know that Mishnah's Rabbi Akiva? If you open the Mishnah, you'll see. The Mishnah over this mentions Megadev. And at the end of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, the Chachamim say, I agree with everything, with the exception of Megadev. So you see clearly that the Tana Kam in that Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Akiva that holds that you don't have to do a maisa. B'harai, it says Megadev. So if Megadif is enough for chatas, then your doini should also be enough to have to bring a chatas. Very shlokish, okay. So what's Rish Lakish going to do? Nehidle by Rabbi Kiva Meiser Rabbah. It's true, Rabbi Kiva holds Megadif is chayiv. And what you see from there is that you don't have to do a Meiser Rabbah to be chayiv, but Meiser Zutabai, a little bit of a Meiser you do have to do. Says the word Megadif by Meiser. What's the little bit of a Meiser you have by Megadif? Akima Svas of Havi Meiser. Akima Svas of that is the Meiser. Now, one thing we assumed in this Gemara was that your doini is not a maisa, but oif doesn't involve a maisa. Says the Gemara, Baal oif, my maiseka. What's the maisa? Meaning at first glance, wasn't it an oif and yudoyne? Oif, you take the spirit, it rises from the dead, you put it in your armpit, and it starts doing its thing. Why is that different than yudoyne? When you take the etzem, you put it in your mouth, and it starts speaking. The Gemara doesn't really know what the difference is. So the Gemara, no, Hakoshas Royosef Havi Maisa. The Baal Oiv would have to clap his arms in order to get the spirit to talk, and that in and of itself is a Maisa. Now the Gemara says, Vafilu the Rabbanan. Oiv is a Maisa Lechura, even according to Rabbanan. This next few lines is a little confusing. But how do we know that Oiv is a Maisa, even according to the Rabbanan? Because the Mishnah over there in Krisos mentions Oiv, right? It also mentions Megadif, and at the end of the Mishnah, it says that this is not, that the Rabbanon agree with 35 out of the 36. Which one don't they agree with? They don't agree with Megadif, because Megadif is not a Maisa. It's Mashma that Oiv is a Maisa. So Mar said, I feel the Rabbanon of a time, but we learned that a Braisa, in a Chayiv al Aldova Sheyesh by Maisa, you only Chayiv, Chatos. If the Avera that you did, which is Zidoyne Chorus, involves a Maitz, going Zibuch, Kituv, and Yisuch, Vishtachavo, from Rishlokish, Rishlokish, said Mantan, Vishtachavo, Rabbi Akiva, he, the Omar, Loi Be'inon, Maisa, Rishlokish said that the only time you'll have to bring a Chatos for being Mishtachavo, Lavi, the Zor, Beshoigig, is a coin to Rabbi Akiva that holds you don't have to do a Maitz, Bechon, and argue. Rabbi Yechon said, I feel the Tamer Rabbanon, Kvifas, Ke Masai, the Rabbanon, Avi, Maisa, that no, Kvifas, Ke Masai, Hishtachavo is considered a Maisa. But what's the Kasha, hashtag the Rishlokish kvipas kai masai, the Rabbanon loy havi maisa, hakoshas zra yoisov, the baloiv havi maisa, madoch hishtachavo is not considered a maisa according to the Rabbanon. Then certainly hakoshas zra yoisov shouldn't be a maisa according to Rabbanon. Now, where did you see hishtachavo is not a maisa according to Rabbanon? Because that's what Rishlokish just said. Rishlokish said that only according to Rabbi Akiva, if somebody is mishtachavo b'shoigig, are you going to have to bring a chatas? But if according to the Rabbanon, it doesn't involve a Maisa. So what's the Kasha? How could Oiv be considered a Maisa and Ishtachava not be a Maisa? What's the Maisa by Oiv? We just said, like clapping your arms. Why is clapping your arms any less a Maisa than Ishtachava? So first the Gemara says, Ki kamar Rishlokish navi Rabbi Akiva. Maybe Rishlokish would agree that according to the Rabbanon, Oiv is not a Maisa. Av the Rabbanon loy. But the Gemara says it can't be. Like we spoke at a second ago. Because if that's the case, then what the Mishnah and Krisa should have said was that when the Rabbanon comment on the Mishnah and say, I agree with 35 out of the 36, what they're really supposed to say is I agree with 34 out of the 36. Because Megadif is not a Maisa. And Oiv is also not a Maisa. Because if Ishtachava is not a Maisa, then why should Oiv be a Maisa? Elo Amar Ula. So Ula said, B'makater l'shed. In other words, what the Gemara just said was, is we had a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, why the Mishnah in Krisus mentioned Oiv and didn't mention Yudoyne. Okay, that we discuss. The second discussion that the Gemara has over here is, there's another Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and that is Hishtachava. According to the Rabbanon that hold that the only time you bring a chatas is if the aveira that you did involve the maisa. Is hishtachava considered a maisa or is it not considered a maisa? Rabbi Yochanan says it is. Reish Lakish says it's not. And that's why Reish Lakish said that there's a braisa that says that if someone's mishtachava b'shoigig, he has to bring a chatas, it's going according to Rabbi Akiva. That holds you don't need to do a maisa. That Megadif brings a chatas. But according to Rabbanon, not. The kasha is, it's mavur in the Mishnah in Krisos that you bring a chatas for oif. Which means that oif is a maisa. And what was the act of oif? Clapping your arms. Why should clapping your arms be any more a maisa than ishtachava? So why would Reish Lakish hold that ishtachava, according to Rabbanon, is not a maisa, and yet oif is a maisa? So the Gemara is so impressed by this kasha, and the Gemara says, you have to say Reish Lakish had a whole different definition of oif. Our definition of oif is you bring the spirit up, put it on your arms. Reish Lakish held, you know what a baal oif is? Mekata l'shei. It's someone that brings a carbon, and he brings ketores to a demon. Amalei rova, mekata l'shei, everybody does, that's Avodah Zarah 101. That's not Oiv. Alomar Rava, you're right. Mekater l'chaber. What it means is you're Mekater, and your intent of being Mekater is to try to get demons to come together. So one of the things mentioned in that those psukim that talk about Kishav is V'chay V'chaber. And what does V'chay V'chaber mean? So we're going to have it in a second. It's someone that brings animals together. So there was some sort of incantation of some form of magic that people knew how to do, where they were able to get chayas and things to all come together, get the wild together. That was something that they had an ability to do. If somebody does that to Shadim, he gets Shadim to convene, that right there is what's known as Oiv. Now that involves a Maisa, and that's why Oiv is mentioned in the Mishnah over there. But the Gemara's Kasha is, Amalei Abaye Mekata L'Chaber Chayver Chaverhu. Isn't that a Chayver Chaver? And what's the Kasha? The Kasha, the punchline's not mentioned in the Gemara. The Kasha is Chayver Chaver we know doesn't get Skila. And Oiv does get Skila. So the Gemara, it. Ordinarily, a chayver chaver doesn't get skila. That's if you're chayver nachashim, akrovim, some other animal. But if you're a chayver chaver, when it comes to shadim, over there, you're going to get skila. Tanu rabbanu, chayver chaver. What is that? Echad chaber gadol, echad chaber katan. It doesn't matter if these are big wild animals, lions, tigers, bears, or if they're smaller animals. You're going to be chayv. If I feel nachashim v'akrovim, I'm rabbi. Rabbi said hilk chayman that someone zibura v'akrava. If somebody brings a zibura and an akrava together, these two little insects, afa gavta kam echavin v'lisku. Even though his intent is simply because he doesn't want to get hurt, aser, it's still going to be aser. It falls under the purview of chayver chaver because it's not only a chaber gadol, it's not only shaden, but even little animals. If you use this kishuf to get the animals to come together, you're going to be chayv. Rabbi Yochanan, fake the Gemara. One more kasha on the more technical note. Maishna de kfifas kemasa the rabbanon havi maisa, vakimas svasov loy havi maisa. So he mentioned that it was machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rishlokish. Hishtachavva. Is that considered a maisa not? There's a brisa that says if someone is mishtachavva lavi dazar b'shoygig, he brings a chatas. Rishlokish said that brisa is going according to Rabbi Akiva. That holds you bring a chatas when you're a megadif, so too you bring a chatas if you're mishtachave. Rabbi Yechanan argued. Rabbi Yechanan said ishtachave is a maisa even according to the Rabbanon. Yet, megadif is only a maisa according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara's kasha is maishno ishtachave mi megadif or maishno kfifas kemasa the Rabbanon havi maisa. Rava said, "Shani Megadif Hill Yesh Nebelev." You're missing the point. You know why Megadif is considered Lav Shein by Maisa? Because what's the crime of the Megadif? What he said? No, it's what's inside of him. It's what he thinks. It's what he's feeling. It's what he believes. So the Ikar Avera is Belev. It's like Tfilos Avoy Deshav Belev. So this is the antithesis of that. Megadif is where someone is Belev. He feels that. So being that it happens primarily Belev. What if someone's an Eid Zoymen B'Shoykek? An Eid Zoymen in a way where he should have been Chayiv Misa. So Edom Zoyman get Kashazamam Lasas Locha. So if Edom Zoyman wanted someone to get killed, they'll be Chayav Misa. But what if it was all a Shoik? Would they bring a Chatas or not? So it's a Braisa. Yotsu Edom Zoyman She'em Bahem Maisa. What's the kasha? V'amai Halesnu Belev. It's not Belev. And if it's not Belev, why don't they get? Why don't they bring a chatos? Amar Rava, Rava said, "Shani Edom Zoymen Hoyel V'Yeshne Bekor." Because Edom Zoymen, it's not the Akimas Fosayim that's Aveira that they're doing. It's more what they're getting Bezdin to hear. So the Aveira is the Koil, and the Koil is a Dover She'em Boy Mamish. It's considered, therefore, a lav she'im by maisa. I ain't Rashi. The Gemara's of the color of Yechon lav maisu. Are you going to tell me wherever the punchline of what you said is the coil? It's not considered a maisa, but itmar chosma b'koil. If someone's overlay sachsim shor b'disha b'koil, then he go b'koil. Rabbi Yechon amar chayev for a shlok yishomar potter. We spent a lot of time on this when we learned perik hashoyal. So Rabbi Yechon says chayev and Rish Lakish says potter. Rabbi Yechon amar chayev akimas piv havi maisa. Rish Lakish amar potter akimas piv lo havi maisa. Now what was the But someone is overlay sachsim shor b'disha b'koil. It's the noise that gets the animal not to continue doing what it's doing. So you see, the koil is considered a maisa. Even though it's the koil, we still look at it as akimas pit. So why is Eid Zoymen different? Elo amar rova shani edim Zoymen hoyo v'yeshne b'riya. The reason Eid Zoymen is different is because the ikar aver of the Eid Zoymen happens when he sees. The Eid sees, and that causes him to say. We had this idea earlier in the Masechta that the riya is considered the ikar part of the edus. Even though you would think it's the actual testimony in court, that's the ikar part. It's not. The riya, the Edim, when they see what eventually is going to lead them to come to Bezin and to testify, that's always considered the Iker. So therefore, when you're dealing with an Eid Zoymen and you want to know, does it involve Maisa or not? So even though Akimas Piv maybe is a Maisa, maybe it's not a Maisa, but the point over here is that we look at it from the standpoint of the Re'iyah. In other words, what Gemara came out with is that really, the Rabbanon agree Akimas Piv Havi Maisa. That's where Rabbi Yochanan holds Chosma Bekoil, you're going to be Chayiv, because Akimas Piv Havi Maisa. And even though the Chachalim hold the Megadev is considered aim by Maisa with regards to Chatos. And even though the Rabbanon hold that Edom Zoymen is considered an Ein B'Maisa, Yirom Rigachatos. The difference, the reason that's different is because there it's not a typical Akim HaSpiv. We don't look at the Avera as being the Akim HaSpiv. By the Megadev, we look at the Avera happening Belev, because it's what he's thinking that's the problem, not so much what he said. And by Yitzayim, the Ikr, the Edus is the Re'iyah. Again, these are very subtle Svaras. The Ikr is the Re'iyah, and being that the Ikr is the Re'iyah, we don't look at that as being an Ein B'Maisa either. Tanu Rabbanan, Baloiv. What's a Baloiv? That concludes the more complicated part of the daf. Zeh Hamedaber Bein HaProkim. That is somebody that causes a spirit to arise from the dead, and it lands Bein HaProkim, between the person's joints, Umibein Atzile Yadav, or under his arms. Yudoini. What's Yudoini? Zeh HaMeniach Etzem Yudua Piv. That's someone who takes the bone from the animal Yudua, he puts it in his mouth, and it starts doing what it does. Is that really the way Oiv happened? There's a pasuk in Yeshaya where Yeshaya says, that your voice is going to be so low, says Hashem. It's going to be like the Oiv. Pasha, what does it sound like? The dead person who's crying out from underground, but nobody can hear him. So doesn't it sound like that? Where's the koil coming from? Not from above ground, it's coming from underground. My love, the mishtoi ki urche. What does ki urche mean? From the grave? Loi, the salik viyasa bein aprokim mishtoi. It's not necessarily what it means. It could be it's in the joints, and that's where it's talking from. Tashma vatoimer isha el shol elikim roisi oilim mina aretz. The woman, the Baal HaSoif tells Shaul that I saw people coming up from the ground. We'll see that in a minute. So this pasuk right here is referring to a very well-known incident that's mentioned in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Ches, that describes Shaul HaMelech going and taking counsel by a Baal HaSoif. At first glance, this is a very, very difficult parsha in Nach to learn. The answer is rather simple, but it's kedai, as we're learning the sugyas of Oiv, to know a little bit of the rest of the story as it relates to Oiv. So this is Shmuel Aleph, it's Perek Chof Ches. The pasuk says, Vayiba Yomi Mohen, Vayikbitzu Plishtim Es Machaneim Litzava Lilachim Yisrael. Shaul HaMelech was king, the Plishtim gathered the Machan of Klal Yisrael, they want to fight a war. And the pasuk sets the stage. Ushmul Meis, Shmuel HaNovi had not been alive at that point. Not just that, v'sho'ol heiser ha'oivois v'sayadoyne me'aretz. At that point, Shaul had eradicated all the oiv and all the yadoyne from the land. So Shmuel HaNovi was holach le'ilamai, and there was no oiv and there was no yadoyne in the land at that point. And now the plishtim v'yikovtsu v'yavoi v'yachnu b'shunem. They're coming and they're going to attack the Yidden. And Shaul HaMelech is not sure what to do. The pasuk says, v'yiro, he was scared, v'yechrad li'boi ma'oiv. He wasn't sure. What should he do? Should he fight? Should he not fight? He wasn't sure how to go about it. The pasuk says, "Vayishal Shaul b'Hashem." Because Baruch Hu Shaul daven to Hashem, v'lo yano Hashem, but Hashem didn't answer him. Gam b'chaloymos, gam b'urim, gam b'neviim. He did everything he could possibly do, but he wasn't getting an answer. He was getting no feedback. He didn't know what to do. Vayoyim Shaul lavodav. So Shaul told his slaves, "Bakshuli eishes balas oiv ve'elche ele ve'edrash haba." Are you aware of a balas oiv anywhere in the world that's alive that I can go to her? I want to summon someone from the dead. I want to find out whether or not I should go about this. Should I fight this war or should I not fight this war? Now, ostensibly, Shaul had already eradicated all the oif, so there wasn't supposed to be oif. However, they told him, there is one woman, she lives in Ein Dar, she's a balas oif, she survived. If you want, I can take you there. The pasuk says, Shaul dressed up incognito, he went together with two people, they arrived by this woman at night. Shaul HaMelech, she not knowing that he's Shaul, says, "Kosmona liba oiv, I want you to summons with oiv, v'halili esasher oimer eloich, and bring up the spirit of the person whose spirit I'm going to tell you to bring." That Tamer Yishelov, he ne'ati adatis asha also Shaul. You know that Shaul, she's talking to Shaul. She says, "But you know that Shaul HaMelech asha hichris esha oivis v'esha yudayinim in ha'aretz." He already wiped out all the oivis yudayinim from the land. V'loma ata misnakish benafshi lamiseni. You're setting me up, right? You're an undercover agent. You're setting me up. You want to catch me because really I deserve to die the way all the other balas oivs died. V'yishav ala Shaul b'Hashem lemer. Shaul swore in the name of Hashem, Chai Hashem im yikreich avoyim badover hazeh. Nothing bad is going to happen to you from this. Trust me. Vatayimra Yisha, so the woman was convinced. And she said, it's me, Alala. Who should I bring up? Vayoymer, and he said, as Shmuel Halili, I want none other than the Ruach of Shmuel Hanavi. Vatayimra Yisha as Shmuel. So the woman sees Shmuel. Vatizak Bekoil Godo. She starts to yell. Vatayimra Yisha El Shah Lemar. And the woman turns to Shah, Lama Rimi Sani. Why'd you lie to me? Va'ata Shah. Now, how did she know he was Shaul? So Rashi says, because we're going to see the Gemara. The Gemara says that when the spirit would come up from the death, it would come up backwards, feet first. And the Baal HaSoiv saw that Shmuel's spirit was coming up bakovedig. It meant that the person that Shmuel was going to was someone that Shmuel had an obligation to respect. The only person it could have been was Shaul HaMelech. And that's how the Baal HaSoiv knew that this must be Shaul HaMelech. Vayomer lo HaMelech. So the Melech told the Altiri, I told you, don't be afraid. Kimora Isa. But what did you see? Tell me. What do you see? I saw two people. We'll see in a minute who those two people were. Can you describe him? Shaul knew that this is Shmuel. He bows down to his Rebbe Shmuel. Why did you make me so nervous? You know how afraid I was when I heard you're here. When they summons me, I got so scared. Shaul says, I feel terrible. But uplishtim nilchamim me. The plishtim want to fight a war against them. And I tried all the more conventional means of finding out what I'm supposed to do. I davened. Urvetumim, Nevi'im, Chaloimis, nothing helped. Gambiyada Nevi'im, Gambi Chaloimis, Vekro, Loch Lady Edmas, I don't know what to do. Vayoimir Shmuel, Velama Tishaleini, says, if that's the case, if nobody answered you, then you should have gotten your answer. Says, what do you need me? Vashem Sorme Alecha, Vayi Arecha, Vayi Hashem Loi Kashadibi Riyadi, you know what's going to happen? Vayikra Hashem Esam Amlocha Miyadecha, Vayitno Le Reyacha Le David. And the reason is, Kashale Shomata Bekrela Hashem Loi Sisacha Renapa Bamolek, and he brings up the Aveir of Agog Melech HaMolech, and he tells him why exactly this is going to happen. And of course, Shaul leaves, and he leaves in a terrible place. Vayikres Begodov, the Paz, he didn't have Koyach to walk out. Because Shaul realized this was it. It was all coming to an end. And the Baal HaSoiv says, let me give you some food, let me give you a little bit of Koyach. And the rest is history. Shaul, of course, goes, and he fights, and he ends up losing, and the Plishtim, they kill Shaul. Shaul actually killed himself before the Plishtim killed him. That's why he's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as an example of someone that's allowed to be ma'abed atzmai ladas, to maintain his covet, being that he was going to die anyways by the Plishtim. But the bottom line is, this is the story of the death of Shaul HaMelech, which was precipitated by Shaul HaMelech going to the Baal HaSoiv. So the obvious question is, how was Shaul allowed to go to a Baal HaSoiv? We just learned the Mishnah. The Baal HaSoiv is Chayiv Skila, and even the Nishal is Bazar. So the short answer is, it was Pekuach Nefesh. I mean, it was Pekuach Nefesh, not just for Shaul, but it was Pekuach Nefesh for all of Klal Yisrael. That was why Shaul was allowed to do it. But we'll just conclude with one fascinating thing. And that is, there's a Gemara, this is in Yonah V'Yoyma, there's a Gemara, Mesechtes Chagiga, Daf Dalet Amid Beis, Rabbi Lazar, Kimati Lahaikra Bochi. Rabbi Lazar, whenever he would come and read the following pasuk, he would cry. Vayoymer Shmuel al Shaul, Lomehir Gastani Lahalois Oisi. Shmuel turns to Shaul, he says, you know how scared I was? You know how afraid I was? I was tittering. What was he tittering from? So the rest of the story is, because Shmuel thought that they were coming to give him Din V'cheshbon, that he was being summoned to Beis Din Shamayla, and they were going to give him Din V'cheshbon, and he was afraid of the Beis Din Shamayla. So when Rabbi Lazar would read this pasuk, he would cry. He said, "Umash Shmuel Atzadik Koyim Misyarim in Adin." Madach Shmuel Atzadik was so afraid. Anu Alachas Kama V'Kama. So the Gemara says, "Shmuel Mai." How did Rabbi Lazar know that that's why Shmuel was afraid? Maybe he was afraid because of something else. Dichsev, because the pasuk says, "Vatoymer Ishel Shol Elokim Roisi Oylim." This is a beautiful Gemara. Oylim Treimash. But there were two people that came. Shaul didn't ask for two people. Shaul asked for one person. He asked for Shmuel. Why did two people come? Zok the Gemara, Chad Shmuel. One was Shmuel, the Idach, and the other person was the Ozal Shmuel, because on Shmuel's way, he went for Asyel and Moshe Rabbeinu. He went that he brought Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, Dil mechas v'sholom l'din matvino, because he was afraid. He thought he was going to have to give Din v'cheshbin. He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be standing right next to him in court. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Kumba adoy, shtey da. I want you to testify on my behalf. And now you're going to testify by standing here. The lekum milsa the kusus by raisa like yam. Because there's nothing in your Torah. Torah is moshah that I didn't observe. So Shmuel Hanavi knows that he's going up to the Gimel Cheshbon right now, and he wants Moshe Rabbeinu to be standing, because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be his Sanhedrin. He's going to be the one that's going to be melamed tzus. He wanted it right. He wanted his Gemara next to him, because this Gemara will say Eidus. That's what he wanted. He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu the leis of milsa the kusus by raisa like yam. And that's why there was oilam. And that's how Rabbi Lozer knew there must have been a chash. That was the that's what he was afraid of. It was dinvachem. But we'll conclude with a classic Meshach Achma. Rabbi Simcha said, why in the world did Shmuel think he was giving Din V'cheshbon now? Shmuel had died a little while ago. Shmuel already gave the Din V'cheshbon that Shmuel had to give. Why would he have thought that right now, at this second, he was giving Din V'cheshbon? So Rabbi Simcha said, based on a Gemara Masech Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav, Amr Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeri, Amr Rav Yonasan, Kolo Oymer B'nei Shmuel Chatu Eimei Elatai. If somebody learns Nach and he thinks that the sons of Shmuel sin, he's making a mistake. Now, what do you see from there? That it's possible to make that mistake, right? It's possible to think that the Bnei Shmuel were chatu, but wasn't that? Because the pasuk says, "Vayiki zokin Shmuel ubanav lehalchu bedrachav." Sounds like they did averus. The Gemara says, "No, bedrachav hu lehalchu, but michta nami lechatu." They didn't mind. They weren't like their father, but it doesn't mean that they did averus. Says Rav Simcha, Shmuel was worried about his children. He wasn't sure how his children were behaving on this world, and when he heard that he was summoned to din, he thought that maybe it's not for something he did. He already gave din b'cheshbon for his life, but it was for what his children were doing. Because a person is going to be credited, and a person will be punished, says Rav Simcha, not only for what he does, but for the hashpa that he has on other people. So if you're having a positive influence on somebody, and that person is doing good because of you, that's going to be a credit to you even after you die. And if a person, to the contrary, has a negative influence on somebody, has a negative hashpa on somebody, that's going to be a debit loyaleinu to that person even after he dies. Shmuel Hanavi knew that he got his own private din v'cheshbon. But Shmuel also understood that din v'cheshbon is not something that happens one time, but it's constant. It's always moving, because as people are being influenced from things that you set in motion, you're getting credit or fakir. It works the other way as well. And says Ramei Simcha that Shmuel was afraid. He was afraid because he knew his sons didn't go bedrachav. Now Rabbi Lazar learned this Gemara, and he said Shmuel Hanavi was afraid. Shmuel, he says, if Shmuel was afraid, Anu alachas kama v'kama. It's true. That was the musa that Rabbi Lazar got. But as it relates to why Shmuel would have thought that he had to give din v'cheshbon at this point, says Ramei Simcha, it was not because of anything he did. It was because of what he had said in motion.